I'm going to ask you if you would turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. I'm so glad Pastor Carter named this message. He said that message, Deliverance is the Children's Bread. And if I could give it a subtitle, it's When We're Stuck in Stuck. God's going to help us today. Would you just join with me in prayer as we ask for the Lord's blessing on this time? Lord Jesus, we come in your great name as we have sung today. We come in your great name. And I pray, oh God, would you send the Holy Spirit to lift up Jesus in our midst, to make him so high that the devil looks so small. I pray, oh God, that you would light up your word and that, Lord, the combination of your spirit and your word becomes such a powerful force that it has the power to transform us and live in us. I thank you for this. This is not capable for anyone, Lord, to do this. But with you, all things are possible. You are our deliverer, and we are your children. And you tell us our bread, our daily bread, is deliverance. I pray, oh God, according to your will, Lord, according to your word, I pray you send a deliverance in our midst. I pray you break up the foundations, oh God, of unbelief and fear. I pray everything that binds us, holds us, torments us, everything, Lord, that has a power over us, oh God, that is not you, would you send your spirit and do what only you can do, that we may rise in the power of Christ and glorify you in our generation. For you are worthy and you alone are worthy of this. We thank you that we are your children being fed by your hand. Have your way and receive all the glory, and we'll be changed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen, amen. I want to talk to, well, first of all, you know, if you've been saved a year or under, you're less than a year walking with Christ, where you've given your heart to Christ, he lives in you, he's changed you, forgiven your sin. If you're a year or less in the Lord, would you just raise your hand? You're a new Christian. Praise God. Are you 2 to 5 years old in walking with the Lord in that age category? Could you raise your hand? 2 to 5. Okay. 5 to 10 years. You've been saved 5 to 10 years. Okay. We're pretty evenly divided. 10 to 15. A little more. 10 to 15. 15 to 20. Veterans. Okay. Bondage breaking anointing on this group. Praise God. Over 20 years in the Lord, 20 years in the Lord. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, what I'm going to speak about today applies to everybody. It applies to everyone. I want to talk to you about, you may find yourself as a believer in a place where you find yourself stuck, where you find yourself stuck in stuck, where you find yourself, you want to go forward in spiritual victories, but you just seem stuck. It feels like there's certain areas you can't move forward. There seems to be an inability to change. You have known victories in some areas. Your victories may not be your neighbor's victories. Their victories may not be your victories. You've known some, but there are areas that seem stubbornly resistant. Do you know what I'm talking about here? I'm not alone today. Amen. That's awesome. It seems like that inability to change can sometimes result in a low-grade fever of unbelief or despair. Sometimes it can come then with a lethargy upon us where we seem surrendered a little bit to that lethargy, where by lethargy, I mean almost like an inaction and a weariness that comes upon us when it comes to fighting the good fight. And there are some very practical things that the Lord is saying, has to say about this struggle when we find ourselves stuck and stuck. Well, we find ourselves in that place. You know, there are many reasons for being stuck. A few of them would be, we could be actually physically spent at the moment. We could be exhausted. And there's no reserve left for spiritual battle. And I pray that God give you wisdom how to rest on the battlefield. There can be some people that can be stuck on stuck because they've transferred trust, and there's a lot of doing in your life, but the believing part, the true believing of being able to shout grace to your mountain and stand, that sometimes that's a harder place, and there's more doing than believing. Sometimes there's unsurrendered area of compromise. And sometimes where that is, we can just cover it over with a hyper-spirituality. Sometimes it's disobedience. It can be a combination of things. There can be as many reasons as there are people before me today. But I want you to know, no matter how long you have walked with the Lord, we can find ourselves in stuck. And we have made peace with partial victories. And in this scripture of 2 Kings 13, the Lord has a very clear and distinct remedy for stuck. And I'm so grateful that God is so practical. And it is found in 2 Kings 13. And I just want to say before we look at this that, you know, coming sometimes to that place in the road where we do feel there seems to be no growth or little movement, or we find ourselves physically weary, or we find ourselves saying the right things to people, but the inward battle and the secret battle and the quiet battle is quite another thing. And it seems to have the loudest voices a lot of times. And we draw back sometimes and just walk. We don't know what to do. And sometimes the longer we've made peace with things, we've just learned to compensate and just keep walking. But deliverance is the children's bread. And we are the children of God. And, you know, we are to experience, I believe, as Christians, lifelong deliverances. We never get to the place where we're too old, too sophisticated, too spiritual, not to say, I have found my place. This is where sometimes, for reasons, I find my place. But I thank God. He is a way maker, and he's going to put his spirit upon his word today, and we're going to see what he has to say about this. 2 Kings 13, starting at verse 14, just going to start at verse 14 and 15, and then actually skip down to verse 20 and 21. It says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows." And then if we go down to verse 20, "And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up upon his feet." This is a lot of King James, but this is what it basically means. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about a man, Joash, who was a king of Israel. And at this time in Israel's history, Old Testament Israel, the nation of Israel had been divided into two parts. And he is the king of the north, which is referred to now as the kingdom of Israel. And it was actually characterized by compromise. Its capital was Samaria. And this is the king. And this king lives in a difficult time, and he's personally in a spiritually difficult time, and his nation is in a very spiritually difficult time. And this king comes to Elisha, who is dying, and he is the prophet of God. He has walked as a testimony through this compromised kingdom of Israel as a true man of God, with a word of God burning in him, the Spirit of God on him, doing miracles. He received a double anointing at the hand of his mentor, Elijah. And when Elisha received the mantle of Elijah, he himself quoted these words, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Elisha saw Elijah taken up into heaven, and he when he saw him being taken up, that was the sign to Elisha, who was left, that you are receiving a mantle and an anointing that was actually double to what Elijah had. You are the prophet now. You will do signs. You will do miracles. The Spirit of God will be upon you. And you will walk through a compromised nation and people who feel very insignificant and compromised in their walk with God. They feel insignificant spiritually. You walk among them and let them know that I live and that I am still with my people. And now he's dying. And now the king comes to his bedside and he weeps over his face. And I kind of wonder, did this King Joash, when royalty visits this prophet and he weeps over his face, it's like, my God, when he's taken, where does the mantle fall? And I feel like he's feeling, because I know me and I don't think it's falling to me. And I look around my nation, I look around the time I live in, and I don't see how God is going to put an anointing. I don't see how God is going to be able to do the same thing among us. If this man's taken, where will we be? And now who is Elisha? As I explained to you who Elisha was, he was the kind of man even that in his death, he could still produce life. That the power of God, that when they threw a dead man on his bones, they landed upon his bones. When they opened up his grave, he caused the dead to live. What an anointing. What an anointing. What a figure of what the influence of a godly man can be. What the influence of someone surrendered to God, being dead, yet they live and are able to create life. Oh, my beloved. Much is at stake here, and what I'm trying to say to you today. He prefigures Christ, who in his death for us causes us to live. So now we have a compromised man, a compromised leader, and a compromised time, and he's weeping over the passing of this prophet, Elisha. But here is what's so amazing to me. And Elisha is now going to speak to him from his deathbed, maybe some of his final words to this king. And he's going to speak right to the matter and right to the heart of this king who is feeling compromised, who is leading a compromised nation. And he has something to say to him before he passes. And he is going to so speak the mind of God to him. And he's going to so speak what's God's heart and what's on God's mind so clearly. And no one is going to doubt it, because it came from the prophet Elisha right to his heart. So if we read in verse 15, let's see what he says. We're going to read verse 15 to 19 in its entirety. And Elisha said unto him, this is to the king Joash, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Here's what I feel God is saying to people who feel like they're stuck and stuck, perhaps compromised in a certain area, perhaps very weary in the battle, perhaps loving God but knowing there is more and feeling the lack thereof, and somehow being able to feel that when you're in a court, when you're in the church with a body of believers, you can feel victory, but standing alone or standing before places of repeated failure, you feel very defeated. And the Lord, this is the word of the Lord to us. He says, number one, take the bow and arrows. And I feel that this means demonstrate your intention to fight. Demonstrate your intention to fight. You know, he's speaking to a compromised believer in some ways, but he says to him, there still is a fight for you. There is still a fight for you. And I want to say, first of all, the Lord is saying to him, to Joash, I am fighting for you. There is a fight for you. I am fighting for you. And number two, there still is a fight for you to do. You may feel compromised. You may feel like there is certain battles you can't win. There's certain areas you can't be used in. And the Lord is saying to him, put your hand on your weapons. Put your hand back on your weapons. Stretch forth your hand and put your hand back on that bow, on those bow, on those arrows. Put your hand back on your weapons. You know, the interesting thing to me is that the Lord is saying, even though you may feel like there is no fight in you, listen to me. Put your hand back on your weapons. Take that bow and take that arrow. Jesus said to a man with a withered hand when he was going to heal him, stretch forth your hand. And that's the one thing he couldn't do. He had a withered hand. And God said to him, Jesus said to him, stretch forth your hand. It's like, Lord, I'm coming to you for healing. You got to heal me first, then I'll stretch it. No, God said the word came first. Stretch forth your hand. And in the obedience of that, he was healed. And this is what Elisha was saying to this man. He said, take the bow, take the arrows. Put your hand back on your weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You may not feel like there's a fight in you, but put your hand back on that and demonstrate your intention to fight. I will be with you. Take up the bow and arrow. And when Elisha did, the scripture says that Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And when we feel in certain areas of our life very either compromised or it's a place of continual defeat where we can acknowledge victory in one area, but we feel very insufficient in certain areas. And God's saying, put your hand out, take your weapons back. And when we do that by faith, his hand covers our hand. The Spirit of God, God himself covers our hand. When our failures and our weakness seem strong, God says, your weakness will be covered. Where we feel strengthless, he says, I will cover you. If you will stretch out your hand, I promise you, I will cover you. And we are able to say with the New Testament writer, when I'm weak, then I am strong. When the Lord covers our strengthless places, beloved, when we go to look at areas that we go, Lord, I've been living in areas of where I feel stuck, God is saying, put your hand on your weapons. Put your hand back in this word. Put your hand, lift your hand up in the prayer closet. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you just feel almost allergic to this word, put your hand, say, Lord, I ask you now for a desire to pray. I ask you, Lord, I don't want to be driven through my day feeling condemned, but would you draw me to your word? Oh God, what I can't feel to do, what I feel like I have nothing left in me to do. I thank you. I'm going to remember what Elisha said to Joash in his compromised places. Put your hand back on your weapons. And when you do that, I will cover you. You will not go to the, you know what I found, and you might have found, but do you know who the most faithful person at a prayer meeting is? The devil. He goes to every prayer meeting. That's true, isn't it? You try to pray, who shows up? Distractions, condemnation, pray for a good, at least an amazing 25 seconds, and then it's like, oh, squirrel, and your mind is gone. The devil goes to every prayer meeting. But God says, I've got you covered. You won't feel condemned in that place, but you will see this is a place of my appointed deliverance. You will see I want you. You will see what I've appointed for you is deliverance. We can say when I am weak, then I am strong. Because the hand of Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. Beloved, we are covered in our weakness. Tell the devil that. When he tries to condemn you because it's not going well, say, I just have a word for you, enemy. I am covered. I have another word for you, devil. The battle is the Lord's. This is not my battle. You've taken on someone much greater than weak me. You've taken on the Lord God Almighty. This is his battle. Beloved, we are overshadowed. We are covered when we take up the weapons of our warfare. We are covered when we do that in that moment. Then the scripture says that he is told, verse 17, open the window eastward. Open the window eastward. And it means in this battle, when we're stuck and stuck, to expose the places of defeat and failure and shame. Face the place in your heart where the enemy boasts and gloats over you. Open the windows. You know, you can't shoot an arrow through a closed window. Or you can, but it won't go well. Open the windows. Open the windows. We are dealing with a God who gave himself for us. We are opening these windows, our places of defeat and shame, and being able to come to a place where we are fully accepted and fully understood, where he chose to die for us, where he chose to cover us, where he chose to call us his children, where he chose the relationship, he chose the terms of the relationship, he chose us from before the foundation of the world, the way he would die for us, the way that he would choose us and make us his own. What are we hiding from? His eyes are open. He sees everything concerning us. We are only closed down to ourselves. We are only closed down to the truth that is able to set us free. Beloved, open the windows. The prophet told this compromised king. The prophet told this compromised leader. The prophet told this compromised king who should have known better, but was experiencing his own personal stuck and stuck. He says, open the windows. He said, because in that place, when you are determined to fight and then I overshadow you, then you can know, you can have the confidence that I love you and open the windows. Every place that is a struggle, every place that you're ashamed to admit, every place that you're saying, Lord, you know, I thought I would be a lot changed by now. I thought I wouldn't have to be dealing with this anymore. I didn't understand that I would have to keep seemingly circle around certain areas of insecurity, certain areas where I repeatedly fail to the point I'm despairing, certain areas, Lord, that I know you love me and I know I love you, but I don't understand, Lord, what's going on. And the Lord is saying, open the windows. I'll show you. Open the windows. Don't be afraid of my light. Don't be afraid of my truth. Don't be afraid, because in those windows we'll pour this mercy for you, a mercy that endures forever. And in that mercy, all will come to light. And you don't have to run from your own self anymore. You don't have to run from the condemnation of your enemy. Open the window. But then it says, open the window eastward. And beloved, that eastward reminds us that the sun rises in the east. It reminds us that a new day starts in the east. That it reminds us where the scripture says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. I wonder, beloved, how much of our spiritual vision is tied to obedience. We have to open the windows eastward for those morning by morning mercies to be seen. And this amazing thing is when he told this compromised man, open the windows eastward. Rise and remember the power of new beginnings, of a brand new day that you alone have in me. Face the east and understand that this is a new day every day. And the amazing thing with Jesus is we can have a new day 50 times a day. It's not just confined to the morning. You and I can have a new day all day. Are we willing to take it? Can we stop the whole parade? Can we say, Lord, I find myself again battling that condemnation, battling that spiritual unbelief, battling this place where I'm not yet delivered. Lord, can I open the window and say, this is who I am. This is how it is. But I thank you, it's a new day at this moment. I thank you, it's a new beginning at this moment, only in you, Jesus, because you live in me. And you are the bright and morning star. You are my new day. You said, I will go to the root of things because I am the root of things. I understand all things. I love you. And I alone know how to give you the kind of faith that will keep looking to me, to give you victory, to get you unstuck, to get to the root of things that I can cause you to rise in faith and believe me in an area where I will get the glory. Then he said to him, after he said, open the windows eastward, he said, shoot, verse 17. And he shot. And it says, and the arrow of the Lord's, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of deliverance from Syria. You see, what he shot was the promise of God. What he shot is the promise of deliverance. The scripture says, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. He was shooting arrows of deliverance. He was shooting at an enemy, and it was an arrow of deliverance. He was shooting, he obeyed, and those arrows represented deliverance over his enemies, his present enemies and the enemies to come. The present enemy of Syria in Aphek and the promise of deliverance from his enemies in the future. And the scripture says in verse 17, towards the end, the middle, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, and thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And there is a promise that our enemies will be consumed. It's not a partial deliverance. It is the promise of a full deliverance. The Lord doesn't do things halfway. He doesn't just save us a little bit. That's like saying, you can be a little bit pregnant. You either are pregnant or you're not pregnant. We're either saved or we're not saved. He either promises deliverance, and in the Lord says it will be a full deliverance, because I don't get glory from saved captives. So settle it in your heart. I have come to give you a full deliverance. Where we trip up is it's his time, his way. Because you see, as believers, we're being trained to trust. We're in a trust school, and we're being trained to trust. But this scripture is telling us you have to settle in your heart that my will for you is a complete deliverance. And I think a lot of times we will walk in partial deliverance because we feel it's as good as it gets. Beloved, it's as good as we can get it. But we're dealing with the Lord here. He says, settle it in your heart. I have lifelong deliverances for you. Lifelong deliverances. Got to do it my way because I'm for you. And I get glory when you get delivered. And sometimes, you know, as the longer we walk with the Lord, we get deliverances, but then we hit the bedrock. Then we hit the root of things. Then we hit places that it's going to take a supernatural intervention. God says, don't give up. Stretch your hand out, put your hand on the weapons. I will cover you. Open the windows. Make sure it faces eastward. Make sure you're convinced that I am going to deliver you and keep, I have delivered you. I am delivering you and I will deliver you. That's my will for you. And so he said, shoot, and he shot. So he shot these arrows of deliverance. And then he said, now take the arrows, verse 18. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Now, beloved, up until this point, everything that has happened in this story to the king of Israel, Joash, has been done to him. God has done this for him. God has said, stretch your hand out, and he was given strength to fight again, even though he didn't feel like the fight was in him. God covered his hand. He opened the window. He obeyed that. And God was telling him exactly what to do. God was initiating it, and he was following it, and God was beginning to pour faith into his heart. Now God says, I want you to take those arrows, and I want you to smite the ground. And now it's something he's to do. Before all this other action, this initiating of faith, the giving of hope, the restoring has been an action God has done to him. But now it's his turn to do something. and he's told to smite the ground. Now, beloved, he was told to do this in an amazing atmosphere of the quickening Spirit of God. It is Elisha himself on his deathbed imparting the word of the Lord and the heart of the Lord to this king in a compromised time. And there was an amazing atmosphere of quickening. There was it was a place of hope. It was a place of faith for that moment. It was the thrill of promised victory, of his heart starting to feel that God wanted to deliver him right now and for all time, that God would be faithful to him in conquering his enemies. And it was this thrill of the promises of victory and the energy and the purpose of this moment. And all this had been done. All had been provided that Joash could know a spectacular victory. And so the word comes to him, smite the ground with these arrows of deliverance. And if you look at that word smite, it means to hit, kill, slay, defeat, conquer. These are not measured terms. These are not halfway terms. God is saying, I'm giving you the strength to hit, to kill, to slay, to defeat, to conquer the ground. And that ground gives us a picture of the earth and everything that tied him to the earth, everything that kept him thinking as a man, everything that kept him only basing his situation on what he could see, only basing his situation when he was surrounded by an overpowering force coming against him. Kind of the Lord is saying, smite that kind of thinking where that's all you see. Hit and demolish and defeat and conquer where your eyes stay so rooted to the ground that you walk upon. The Lord was saying, may I remind you, you walk upon the ground. It is under your feet. And in me, that is the situation. You can walk upon your enemies. You can keep that under your feet. And he was saying, smite everything that's a lie that binds and brings torment. Everything on the earth that's not like heaven, you have the power to smite it that you may get a heavenly point of view, that your trust may be in me who made the promise to you. I will deliver you. So take the arrows. They're my promise to you. And smite everything that binds you to the earth and keeps you from rising in faith and looking to the one who made the promise. That you can smite your inadequacy and your insecurities, Joash. You can smite the sin that dominates you. You can smite the addictions. You can smite your unbelief. You can smite your fear. You can smite your failure. You can smite your rebellion. You can smite the self-obsessed feelings of failure. You can smite that you are not worthy, that you're not a successor, that God doesn't want a testimony to continue in Israel, that I have a plan for you and a purpose. It doesn't end with me. I'm trying to pass something on to you. There's so much to strike with these arrows of promise, this promise of deliverance and freedom and transformation. So much promise to rise and believe. But the Bible says that he takes up this promise of deliverance, these arrows, and he smites the ground and he goes, once, twice, three, and stops. When there is, he could look north, south, east, west on his heart and spirit and see a need for deliverance. He stops at three. Prophet says to him, why are you stopping at three? Why do you settle for partial deliverance? Why do you settle for a little when I died to give it all? Why do you stop at three? Elisha said to him, verse 19, you should have smitten five or six times. You should have had double what you did for. In other words, till you had consumed your enemies. That's what Elisha said to him in verse 19. He said, you should have smitten five or six times. You had smitten Syria till you had consumed it, till you had consumed it all. Why stop at a partial victory? Beloved, Why fall back into lethargy? Why allow a low-grade fever? Because for it takes my deliverance. You need to believe the promise. I said that I would deliver you, and I died for that deliverance. Can you hold on and can you persevere? Can you believe it'll come my way in my time? But I make you a promise. I am glorified when you are delivered. And beloved, it's such a word to us today. Persevere, saints. Persevere. Have patience. Our God is not a man that he should lie. It is in his heart to give us a full deliverance. Now, how he does it, and when he does it, and where he does it, and with who he does it, that's his business. But he's in the delivering business. The cross settles all argument. Will it be a full deliverance? You may be to a place where you have known repeated failure. You have known a place that has been an ongoing struggle. God says, I know all about it, but can you believe me today that I died to give you a full deliverance and a lifelong deliverance? Can you believe that deliverance is the children's bread? And I want to feed you from this bread of heaven that will speak promises of your deliverance all the days of your life. Hallelujah. This supernatural smiting, God does his work first, and then he asks us to rise and believe. He does the work first. But beloved, you know, when we have a hard time, when we get stuck and stuck, trust me, God is gracious. But he does remind us of 2 Kings 13. He goes, I have a prescription and I have a remedy for this. I just want to tell you, you know what I have found in my life, and I'm going to close. I've walked with the Lord 39 years, just about 40 years. And I have a lot of times in my life died very badly. I have died to fear. I have died to failure. I have died to unbelief very badly. But God has been so gracious to me. I've died like, you know, in those old Westerns. Have you ever seen the old Westerns where they shoot the guy and then he's mortally wounded and he falls on the tables and upends the chairs and somehow he crawls up and gets on the bar and rolls into all the glasses and smashes everything. And then he gets up and climbs up the stairs and falls over the railing and lands back on the chair. Well, just die already. And that's been me. I have died very badly and very long. But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Fear and unbelief can take sometimes a lifetime of dying. But my God is faithful. And I've looked fear, I've looked failure, I've looked it all in the eye because I've looked past it and I've seen his eye for me and I've seen his eye on me and he has directed me to the cross. He said I didn't die for a partial deliverance. It's all for you. It's all for you, Teresa. It's all for us, church. I've settled in my heart. I am not going to walk settling for partial deliverances. His way, his time, amen, Lord. I'm being trained to trust as you are. But he is faithful and I will know lifelong deliverances. There are things that are rooted deep, but I'm believing my God to break up the depths of it because he gets glory when I get free. Beloved, he gets glory when you get free. I just want to say, beloved, faith is making what Jesus did for you greater than what was done to you. Making Jesus greater for what he's done for us than what was done to us. You may have reasons. You may have seasons where you feel like you are stuck. But I tell you, God has a way of making his deliverances all of a sudden go, this is for me. This is what he died for. I will not live with a low-grade fever of unbelief. I will do what he says. I will stretch out my hand. I will take the weapons of my warfare when I don't like even to feel like I don't even have the fight, and he will overshadow me. And then I will be given strength to open the windows and have a real good conversation. Then I'm gonna face east and know morning by morning, new mercies I see. Even in the evening, I'm gonna know my morning. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to smite the ground and I'm going to say, devil, you are defeated. You are defeated. You are defeated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I am weary, there is a remedy. When I am despairing, there is a remedy. When I am lazy, there is a remedy. When I'm overcome, there is a remedy. He loves me. And he is determined, deliverance shall be the bread I partake of all the days of my life, till I bring him glory, till I'm free. There's nothing more beautiful in this earth than a free woman and a free man. That's our inheritance. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved, if you've settled, if you're stuck in stuck, that's all I can say. If you're stuck in stuck because really deep down you're like Joash, you don't feel you're worthy. You don't feel you can do it. There's been an area of failure that you fear. The Lord is saying today, I've given you a prescription. It's my Jesus. I gave you my son. He died for a full deliverance. And today you are shaking off the lie and you're going to follow that prescription of 2 Kings 13. That's in your Bible, becomes your Bible, becomes the way you walk, becomes the way we think, becomes the way we believe. And when the devil challenges us, we've got something to say back to him. Hallelujah. This is you today. You've been stuck and stuck. You may be a leader. You may be a teacher. You've been stuck and stuck. There's something of unbelief. And today you just come and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I believe you for a full deliverance. I come with my windows open, facing east, covered in love. Come to this altar today. Come to this altar today. Beloved, let's just say, that's been me, oh Jesus, that's been me. But I know you're going to get glory out of my life because I'm believing the promises of God. They are true and they are amen. And I thank you, Lord. You can talk to me about anything because my window is open. You can talk to me about anything because my window is open. Hallelujah. Come quickly, beloved. This is the day. This is the day of our salvation and deliverance. He will be our quickening spirit, quickening us back to faith and life. And as this band plays, will you come? Will you come? Drop your pride. Drop the defenses and the excuses. Just come. God's going to do something special in our midst today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I believe the Lord is sending faith to those that are desiring to be convinced that a full deliverance is their portion. A full deliverance comes his way, his time. We will never be lied to back into a corner of compromise that we don't deserve it. I've known failure and I can't see victory in this area. Love, this is where faith comes in. We put our hands on the weapon with an intention to fight with no ability or strength to fight, but then he shadows us and he takes over. When he's done, let us honor him by not only striking three times with our hands full of promise, but let us have the ability, for as many promises there are in the Word of God, there are deliverances. It is to be a lifelong testimony of deliverance. We don't eat bread one time for a lifetime. We eat bread every day. And deliverance is the children's bread. So we eat every day, Lord. Then you have your way. Though it be long coming sometimes, I'll believe you anyway. Though I hit a storm, I'm going to sail through anyway. Though I hit places of fear, You will bring me through to defeat the lion and the bear anyway. Lord, I thank you. You are so faithful. We bring you so little and you do so much. It's even better. You actually provide everything and we enter in. I thank you for that. So Lord Jesus, I pray now that we, your children, may eat of your deliverance, your deliverances, this bread of deliverance, that Lord, we would not pull back from believing you. Though they some and a few are a long time coming, you are determined to bring us deliverance. Though Lord, nothing seems to change, Lord, I believe you are telling us everything's changing when we do it your way. When we declare you good in the face of evil, when we say you are for me, when the enemy says he's against us, when we get in that word, oh God, and we eat that bread, we know deliverance is at hand. We know deliverance is our portion. So make us persevering, make us patient, make us hungry. Give us an appetite for bread. Give us, oh God, an unwavering faith. And though we need to go back 50 times a day to learn this lesson of 2 Kings, we say, I'm going to have morning in my night. I'm going to believe, oh God, it's a new day, even in the middle of my night. It's a new day in my midnight. It's a new day in my darkest hour, because you are my light and you're not a man that you have lied to me. You gave yourself for me and you love me, and loving me, you will love me to the end. I thank you. Deliverance is my bread. Freedom is my portion. I am your child. Bless us, oh God. Bless us, Lord. Bless us. Bless us. Bless us with a persevering, a patient, and a steadfast heart. You've given us a remedy, Lord. You've given us a path. If we have to do it 50 times a day, 100, we will do it. You will be faithful. We are blessed and we've been fed today. Thank you for the promise of deliverance. May many be receiving it at this moment, a breakthrough in their spirit and a confidence you are for us. You are with us and you're changing us and those around us. And may we be able to serve bread, the bread of deliverance, to the enchained masses around us in the power of Jesus' name. Amen and amen.